The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
KNUS Denver, a Salem Media Group station.
Most battles are won before they're fought. Peter Boyles on the Voice of the People. News Talk 710, KNUS.
Back at the 6 o'clock hour, 5 o'clock flew by, in large part because of you. Phone lines have been hopping. Do have one line open right now at 303-696-1971. I'm Randy Corporan in for Peter Boyles. George Brockler will be here tomorrow morning. Peter back on Friday from Germany. Should be some amazing stories. I texted my man over the weekend but have not heard back from him, so don't know that we'll hear from him today. And somebody texted in via the 710 KNUS app, asked about Trevor Loudon. He'll be here in the 7 o'clock hour, as will Ted Harvey, the Committee to Defend President Trump. After this weekend, boy, I'll tell you, if you were to believe the left-leaning mainstream media, you would think this president is on his way out. I would say probably not. And then really looking forward to our interview with Brigitte Gabriel in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. Before we jump back to the phones, just saw a very touching text from James O'Keefe. He's the founder of Project Veritas, does these covert videos, these exposés. The newest one is on the absolute unbelievable and undeniable bias coming out of CNN every single day. But it's a picture of a very young James O'Keefe sitting with Andrew Breitbart, smiles on their faces, on a couch, a laptop in Breitbart's lap. Says, drip, 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 the slow drip of the expose of the media is what I assume that means. Miss you, brother. Got to meet Andrew Breitbart just for a couple of minutes in Washington, D.C. I think it was the year of his death. Might have been at an Americans for Prosperity event. Don't remember exactly. First time I met Mark Levin was there as well. And anyway, yeah, Andrew Breitbart is well missed, but he started a legacy of investigative journalism and truth-telling on the media that lives on and continues to grow to this day. And thank God for that. Talk radio is a part of it, and so are you at 303-696-1971. Bill wants to continue the conversation on the teachers' ability to strike, but I promised Randy, who waited through the break, that we'd get to his call next. So, Randy, change of topic, lay it on me.
Morning, Randy. Yeah, real quick. I was at both of the rallies, the Labor Day and the 921, and the original first one there, that clown out there with that bullhorn.
Yeah.
That made it impossible to hear anything. I understand that Dennis Gallagher has a yard sign supporting this clown, and I'd just like to know if that's really the case, and if it is, what's his reasoning to have somebody like that on the school board? I mean, this guy, in elections, like they say, have consequences, and fake Gallagher's got his support, or this clown, I'd like to know why.
Huh.
And that's
all I got. The clown you're talking about is Tay Anderson.
Yep.
And he was very rude with the bullhorn, blasting it in people's faces, trying to make it so none of our speakers could be heard. This was when the Aurora Police Department stood basically
down.
Just stood down and impotent in the face of clear violations of the law, disrupting a lawful assembly and obnoxious noise making. And fortunately, they seem to now be empowered to not let that sort of thing go on again. But it was just ridiculous. This guy is he's supported by socialists and communists in Denver. And if anyone who's listening from the Denver Republican Party, Denver County Republican Party or elsewhere knows if Mr. Gallagher is supporting Tay, I'd be interested in knowing that as well, because he's an extremist. He's got really no qualifications to be on the school board, hasn't raised any kids, I don't believe. He's very, very young. And, you know, he was a part of that group that was referring to people like Casper Stockham and other black, well, for instance, Eric, the regular listener to 710 KNUS, was referring to them as the white man's N-word. And Tay was not doing that, but he was certainly not stopping it from his side. And he's a black guy. I mean, you'd think he'd have a little respect.
He was real cocky and arrogant and smart-ass and everything. I heard some of the comments. I sort of had an altercation with him. He said, "How many of you white women voted for Trump?" And two of them said, "We did." Well, there's two. Boy, the guy.
Yeah.
He's a racist, and he's a clown.
Well, I definitely agree, and thanks for waiting, Randy. Obviously, your parents loved you because you were well-named.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you, sir. More text messages coming in. Texter says that Tay was appointed to a previous board by Hickenlooper. I don't know the board, and I don't know the history there. It's interesting, though. And then another, if you send texts in here, just put your initials or your name there so we can give you a shout-out, even just your first name or whatever you'd like to be called this morning. This one says, Randy, not only should teachers be banned from striking, but their union should not be allowed to support candidates for school board. That does seem a bit incestuous, doesn't it? And Bill wants to weigh in on teachers and striking. So, Bill, thanks for waiting. Welcome to the Peter Boyle Show.
I don't get you guys. You know, I've been dating my wife since the day she graduated college, which was over 40 years ago. She's been teaching for over 40 years. Now, how much should a person with a college education get paid? She's underpaid. She works. She just left for work. She won't be back until 4:30, 5 o'clock. And then she'll come home and do about 4 or 5 hours worth of work. You guys wouldn't do a single thing without getting... I know I wouldn't without getting paid.
What kind of income is she making after all these years, Bill?
She's making about 90.
All right.
You know, she's got her master's. She's two classes away from a doctorate degree. How much would you work for with that kind of education? What are they paying you for talking in front of a microphone?
The question here is whether striking should be permitted, and not that they're. In fact, everybody that's called in and said I don't think public school teachers should strike has also said that in some cases. I mean, one caller talked about some pretty high wages for Chicago teachers.
Yeah, but what's the cost to live in Chicago?
No, listen, I'm not, I don't mind, anybody should make as much as the market can bear. The question is whether people in that role, the disruption to society, if they walk off the job, the incestuous relationship between school board members and the teachers union supporting the ones that are going to be focused solely on teacher salaries, teachers' benefits.
Well,
the question is whether they should be allowed to strike and cause that kind of societal disruption and the damage to our kids.
Well, I had a job that I couldn't strike. And
mind me asking what it was?
Well, I worked for Xcel, so we couldn't, you know, we supplied power and stuff for downtown Denver.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't leave. We had no choice. I worked 36 hours straight one time in a snowstorm. You know, but I was a mechanic, high school education, and I make twice as much money as my wife. You know, and then we worked a lot of overtime and stuff, but so does my wife. She comes home. She just left. Okay, she won't be home until 4:30, 5 o'clock. Now traffic has part of it to do with it, but she'll work for 4 or 5 hours before she goes to bed, grading papers. She don't do that kind of work in the classroom. She teaches the kids.
Well, once again, I think people should make whatever the market will bear. Why do you think that teachers are underpaid? Why do you think there isn't more money available to...
Well, my daughter, she just graduated. She just got her degree to teach, and she's teaching on the East Coast. She can't even afford to buy a car.
But why do you think that is? You think it has anything to do with the expanse?
I don't know.
Let me finish the question.
Sure, okay, sure.
Do you think that it has something to do with the expansion, the massive expansion of administrative and overhead costs? Because that's where I see
sure.
money being wasted in the schools is that they justify, you know, you've got principals and superintendents making massive six-figure salaries, and then they're creating this massive bureaucracy around them.
Sure, and, you're right. That's yeah. right. That's right. You know, it is like that. You know, and it's just like in a snowstorm, you guys get pissed when they close the school because then you have to find daycare for your children. I mean, it's just like you said, it's screwy.
Well, push come to shove, and I definitely get your perspective, and
I've seen the whole thing.
I'm sure your wife will have a comfortable retirement, and that is a great benefit of being a teacher. But when push comes to shove, should teachers, public school teachers, be allowed to strike?
No. You know, it's like my job. We could strike, but we still had to go to work.
How did that work?
Well, we never did. I worked for Xcel Energy.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, we would just get retro on pay. And most of the times, it had to do it with pay because they couldn't. The administrators or the executive, whatever you want to call them. That worked downtown, they couldn't understand how us grease monkey mechanics should make the money that we were making, but we were working 500 to 1,000 hours of overtime a year.
Yeah.
You know, they don't see that number. You know, like I said, in 96, in that snowstorm, I worked 36 hours straight by myself.
Maybe the, and thank you for that, and maybe the more fair way to approach teacher compensation would be to really put a limit on the number of hours that they work at their regular salary, and then if their caseload, their class load is paper grading, parent-teacher conferences, all of that kind of thing,
sure,
when it adds to the overtime, pay them according to, just like anybody else would get paid for that overtime.
Right.
I got no problem with any of that.
Right. You know, she has no choice at parent-teacher's meetings. She has to be there. You know, she can't leave until the last kid is picked up.
Well,
it's not 3 o'clock comes and she goes home.
Text message just came in from SK, and you can text the show right immediately. Comes right into the studio. Big screen we've got here. If you use the 710 CAN-US app, it says, tell your caller, talking about you, Bill, that most of us work that hard and the 10 to 14 hour days for schools is BS. Regarding teachers, sorry, this garbage makes me mad. Most of us work for ourselves, don't get a pension. Thanks, Randy. What do you say to that one, Bill?
Well, that's their fault that they were ignorant to not get a job that had benefits. Myself, thank God I had a job that had benefits because of medical reasons.
I wouldn't say ignorant. People make choices to be self-employed. They want to try and make it big. They have an opportunity to, some people become multimillionaires. Some people just get on, but it's not necessarily ignorant.
I always tell young people to make sure you get benefits when you get a job because of medical reasons, I had a stroke. You know, thank God I got paid the whole time. I got my medical expenses were covered by my insurance. You know, if I would have been working for myself, I watched my wife's parents. They had their own business. They worked day and night, just to make ends meet. Sometimes when things were slow, I had my own business back in the 70s. I never worked so much for nothing.
Well, I still wouldn't. I don't like the term ignorant if people choose to be self-employed. That can be a part of the American dream.
No, I'm not saying ignorant, no.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's a choice.
Yeah.
And don't
come crying to me later if you made that choice. And,
right, because of benefits. I mean, you don't really, like I said, I didn't choose to have a stroke. I fell down and hit my head is what had happened, and I bled for a week. And luckily, when I was in the hospital, everything was covered, and I still got my paycheck because I had sick leave. I didn't abuse my sick leave. I'm just saying, people, when they gripe about it, well, how many people do you know, well, I work for myself. Nobody tells me what I have to do. Ha, ha, ha. Well, ha, ha, ha. You don't got the benefits.
Well, Bill, thank you for the call.
Okay.
And you sound good. It sounds like you've recovered from your stroke, and I'm grateful for
that. Well, it's
debatable. All right. Well, good luck to you, and take care. Interesting to have that as the his final comment there, given the fact that today is the grand opening of our family auto repair business. My son-in-law, 11 years now, I think, a certified mechanic. His dream has always been to have his own shop. He's worked for many others. My history, dropped out of high school at 15, came back to Colorado where I was born at 17 to go to Denver Automotive and Diesel, opened my own auto repair businesses. After driving around with tools in the back of my 63 Chevy Nova doing, quote, air quotes, on-the-spot auto repairs, finally opened my own place. Opened my own law firm right out of law school because that was my vision, my goal. The jobs that I had, save for talk radio, which I absolutely love. I mean, I'm an independent contractor, but I love coming in here anytime I get the chance. But for the most part, I was never happy or satisfied when I was working for somebody else. And, you know, that's just what makes horse races. I mean, if we were all employees, there wouldn't be any jobs, would there? So I think it's a great thing, something to be honored and celebrated. It doesn't always work out, and we'll find out. Grand opening for us today, Hartker's Garage Auto Service and Repair, 5600 South Windermere Street, where Michael's going to be doing free winter inspections, top to bottom on your car, see what kind of shape it's in. I'll be there. We'll be cooking up some hot dogs starting at noon if you want to drop by. I would absolutely love to see you, and that's just right there in Littleton, off one block north of Littleton Boulevard off of Windermere, which is the same street that the Littleton Arapahoe County Courthouse is on. And so I think it's going to be a great location for him, and we're just ear-to-ear grinning about it. And fascinating that the news story today about the Park County school teacher strike that Tommy gave us at 5 o'clock triggered this question I wrote down: should teachers strike? And that's really been the sole topic of conversation so far on the Peter Boyle Show. And that's all surrounded after Bill's call about, you know, people who make the choice to be self-employed and don't get the benefits and all. Is kind of he made it sound like a bad thing. I think it's pretty terrific. And really excited about the grand opening of our family car business. Anyway, phone lines are wide open, 303-696-1971. There's about 10 more texts. I'll look at those during the break. But I just want to share with you what FDR said back in 1937 about public employees, meaning government employees that would apply to teachers in the public schools, about them striking. And remember, Roosevelt was a four-term progressive, air quotes. Well, I don't know what's progressive about progressives, but a four-term progressive Democrat in the 30s and 40s. And he warned very, very explicitly about the dangers of public employees, government employees, being able to strike. Here's what he said: the desire of government employees for fair and adequate pay, reasonable hours of work, safe and suitable working conditions, development of opportunities for advancement, facilities for fair and impartial consideration and review of grievances, and other objectives of a proper employee relations policy is basically no different from that of employees in private industry. Obviously, organization on their part to present their views on such matters is both natural and logical, but meticulous attention should be paid to the special relationships and obligations of public servants to the public itself and to the government. All government employees should realize that the process of collective bargaining, as usually understood, cannot be transplanted into the public service. And he goes on and explains why and emphasizes it in great detail. And so to me, the answer to whether public school teachers should be able to strike is contained in the words of FDR now 70-plus years ago. Heck, 82 years ago, if that's a 1937 letter. And I tend to agree. All right, 619. We're going to take our break here in just a second. Want to remind you that we'll be joined by the Committee to Defend the President founder, Ted Harvey, in the 7 o'clock hour. going to spend some time with my good buddy Trevor Loudon as well. And then someone I saw back at the Western Conservative Summit, had some fun conversation with, but have not interviewed her in years, Brigitte Gabriel, will also join the Peter Boyle Show here later on this morning. George Brockler will be in tomorrow. We'll get right back to your phone calls. More folks want to talk about teachers, and the text messages are just piling up here on the 710 CanUS app. I'll remind you one more time that if you want to email the show today, you've got to go to 710canus.com and pull up Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. That's my Saturday morning show. Click the big red button that says email the show. It's the only way I will see your emails this morning. So we'll get right back to the phones. We'll read some of these excellent text messages as well. And just continue as we march through your Monday on the Peter Boyle Show here at 710 KNUS.
Now, back to the Peter Boyle Show.
At 626, still, oh, dark 30. The days are getting shorter and shorter. And shorter, but a good looking day today. 55 for the high, partly cloudy, sunny and mild tomorrow, 67. And I just can't stop saying it, so excited about the grand opening of our family auto repair business, Hartger's Garage Auto Service and Repair, 5600 South Windermere Street in Littleton. That's right off of Littleton Boulevard, about midway between Broadway and Santa Fe. One block north of Littleton Boulevard, and I'll be there grilling up hot dogs and saying hello, hoping people stop in and take a card and take advantage of a free winter car inspection. If we get loaded up, we'll schedule yours if we can't do it right there on the spot. And no, I'm not done being a lawyer or anything. I just helped my son-in-law get do something that I did. Gosh, 40 years ago now, get into my own auto repair business. And it's been his lifelong dream, and we're trying to make it happen. So I hope you'll stop by and see us. But man, the hot topic this morning has been this offhand question that I wrote down when Tommy gave the news this morning about the Park County school teacher strike. And I wrote down, should teachers strike? A listener texted that in immediately as well. So we were all kind of on the same in the same mindset. Patrick's on the line. We're going to talk to him in 1 second. His wife is a teacher, but here's a very interesting text that we got from Lori, who can't call in, but because she's getting ready for school today. I'm a public educator, not charter. I love my job. I did not go into teaching thinking that I would make the big bucks or even as much as somebody else with a master's or doctorate degree. I went into teaching because I love working with kids, and I love helping to shape their futures. As a side note, I'm not a progressive, I'm a conservative. If we want to shift the way of public education, we need more conservative educators on the front lines in our regular public schools. Teaching is a calling, not something that one goes into to get monetarily rich. I feel like I have always been very well paid to enjoy a job I love, wonderful benefits, and terrific vacation time. Yes, school days are long days, and I work way more than 40 hours per week, but the benefits far outweigh the overtime. I'm also one of the few people that feels para is a shame. When I retire at a relatively young age, I will get a very cushy retirement on the taxpayer's dollar. The amount of public money that goes into teacher retirements is a shame. When so many progressive teachers shout about equity and salaries, they are very narrow-minded. They don't see how much all the also hard-working, non-public working sector employees contribute to their salaries and retirement benefits. Man, I just thought that was all worth reading to you. Powerful, powerful perspective from an actual school teacher. Thank you for that, Lori. Do appreciate it. Let's get to Patrick now in Denver. Your wife's a teacher. What say you?
Pardon me?
I say your wife is a teacher. What say you?
Oh, yeah, well, she. What I have to say is she has a lot of time off. She just got off a three-day, three days off, and then she has the summer off, and then she has spring break, and she has a week for fall break. I guess when you add all that stuff up, the hours, you understand why they don't make that much money.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, we had one caller call in and says, you know, his wife comes home and grades papers for 4 or 5 hours every night after school. And that's hard for me to imagine. I mean, I don't know what level of teacher she is. If you're in college and you've got length, you know, long papers that require a lot of thought and a lot of review, then you're only teaching one, two, three classes a week. So you've got a lot of time. But it, and if you're teaching school age children, those papers can't take very long.
No. She grades paper. Just don't give that much homework. That's all. That's a good solution.
That's sad. Well,
I know, but
well, Patrick, the question is, should public school teachers be allowed to strike? What do you think?
I don't think so, because, I mean, the union gives them that right, but like you said, it's public-funded union.
Yeah.
And they should be after, you know, their health benefits and stuff like that, and, you know, and classroom sizes, but going on strike, no.
Well, and the texters seem, for the 99% anyway, seem to agree with you. Patrick, thanks for waiting, and thanks for weighing in this morning.
Yeah, no problem. No problem at all.
Jim writes, I haven't heard any mention of performance-based pay for teachers, and that is absolutely the truth. You don't hear that at all. And in fact, the unions seem to reward longevity over performance, and that's a big concern. Got a listener out in, well, I don't know if, based on the area code, may be in Oklahoma, but referring to Copan, Oklahoma, a school district there that has 228 students. The superintendent makes $100,000 a year, 50% graduation rate. Teachers went on strike 2 years ago, got a $7,800 pay increase. Yeah, that's not at all surprising. And speaking of teachers, earlier we heard about the Denver County School Board candidate, Tay Anderson. Somebody said he was appointed to a board by Hickenlooper, young kid, very little qualifications, showed up at the precursor to our 921 ICE rally, the one that we did on Labor Day on 2 days' notice, with a big bullhorn blasting in everybody's ears and not shouting down or stopping his side when they were calling black members of our side of this support rally the white man's N-word. And I just lost his text. I'll bring it up again. He found the board, or he's telling me what board that Hickenlooper appointed Tay Anderson to. These guys are supported by socialists and communists in downtown Denver. And for many living in Denver, that's probably okay. I guess that's what you want for your cities. Look around, I would suggest. Look at the homeless problem as it grows. Look at the crime rates as it grows. Look at your taxes as they grow. Look at your roads as they continue to be ignored, no matter how much more money gets taken, and decide if that is the direction you want my native city, beautiful native city of Denver, Colorado, if that's the direction that you want to go. It's sad, it's scary, it's frustrating, and this is what happens in Democrat-controlled cities. If you want to see where it inevitably results, take a look at Chicago. Take a look at Detroit. Take a look at San Francisco. San Francisco, one of the most beautiful places in the entire world, and it's a sty now, with human feces and needles and tents and trash and rats and, oh my Lord. Really, people? Is this the America you want to live in? It's not the American vision that Republicans are presenting. It's not the American vision that President Trump is supporting. And yet, I noticed this morning, front page of the Denver Post, as they continue to try and it's just, this is nationwide on most of the nation's newspapers. Nationwide on CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, of course. We've seen the expose on that now from Project Veritas, MSLSD, all of the others just chipping away, trying to make the president, his policies, his decision-making sound like it's the end of the world. There's complete chaos within the administration. And this morning, front page of the Denver Post, frustrated diplomats airing their concerns. 3 years of simmering frustration inside the State Department is boiling over on Capitol Hill as a parade of current and former diplomats testify to their concerns about the Trump administration's unorthodox policy toward Ukraine. This is what's going on. The Nancy Pelosi is holding these secret star chamber depositions in the basement of the Capitol where the State Department officials are dragged in there. They don't have lawyers with them. The State Department can't send anybody in with them. Mike Pompeo complained about this yesterday with George Stepan Olivas on ABC This Week. And they're doing it so they can then leak the pieces that they want the media to glom onto to try and create this steady drumbeat narrative against the Trump administration. What this article says is, to Trump and his allies, the diplomats are evidence of a, quote, deep state within the government that has been out to get him from the start. But to the employees of a department demoralized by the administration's repeated attempts to slash its budget and staff, cooperating with the inquiry is seen as an opportunity to reassert the foreign policy norms that they believe Trump has blown past. Is that what you want? Is a return to the, air quotes, foreign policy norms of the past, where we send pallets full of cash packed into a jet, an unmarked jet in the middle of the night, to the people in charge of Iran, where Hillary Clinton shows up with Russia with a little red button and her big cackly laugh? This is the reset of relations between the United States and Russia, where President Barack Hussein Obama, talking to the president of Russia at the time, knee to knee, caught on an open mic, saying, please convey to Vladimir that I'll have more flexibility after my next election. Newspaper doesn't tell that story. Newspaper didn't report that story on the front page day after day after day during the Obama administration. You have to be aware of what's being done in the media. We're going to talk about that at length with one of my good friends. He and I were delegates in the 2016 Republican National Convention, where Trump was nominated, became the presidential nominee. And he was the first to walk out onto the floor with his Trump hat and a T-shirt that said something like, what choice do I have? And then at that moment, he flipped his political action committee that had done tremendous work helping elect conservatives around the country and also exposing Hillary Clinton and her lawlessness with the Stop Hillary PAC. He immediately turned his energy once Donald Trump was elected, and all of those connections and emails and the money, some of the money that they had raised toward, turned that into the committee to defend President Trump. And I'll tell you what, if you think it's been bad the last 3 years, we are 3 years into this presidency. If you think it's been bad the last 3 years, you wait and see what happens this last year as we head into this election. It's going to be insane. And yet, did you know the GOP has raised four times as much money as the DNC in the last month? In September, DNC raised under $7 million. RNC raised almost $28 million. Unbelievable. In all of 2019 to date, the DNC has raised about $66 million. The RNC almost $170 million. And just for a little context there, cash on hand as we head into the final year of the presidential run-up to election, RNC's got $59-plus million on hand, to the Democrats, $8.6. No debt for the RNC, over $7 million in debt for the DNC. Does that mean anything? Is that an arbiter of things to come? Can you guess, based on enthusiasm at rallies and the money that's been raised, and individual donor money, by the way? Donald Trump has hundreds of thousands of individual donations on a monthly basis. You know, $25, $35. That is a great sign of enthusiasm and support that's not reflected in the polls. We talked about last week and on Saturday that Moody's projection. Moody's has been projecting presidential elections, and they've been right on every single one except one since the election of Ronald Reagan in 1980, and they show on three different models Donald Trump winning every single one some of them by more significant margins than he won in the Electoral College in 2016 in the first place. And yet all we get, steady drip, front page of the Denver Post, all of the Sunday shows, oh my God, Trump the disruptor, Trump the destroyer, got to get rid of him. Is it going to work? 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. We've got a couple open lines right now. We'll get right back to the phones after this break. At 640, it's the Peter Boyle Show on 710 KNUS.
Download our free mobile app and listen to 710 KNUS on your phone, or hear us at home or at work on your Alexa device. Details at 710knus.com. Message and data rates apply.
The Peter Boyle Show.
Cowboys ain't easy to love, and they're harder to hold. They'd rather give you a song than diamonds or gold.
Waylon and Willie.
Lone Star Bell.
Mamas, don't let your sons grow up to be communists. I don't think that's what they said. Fits, though. 6:47, about 13 minutes to go until 7 o'clock, still dark outside. Peter Boyle's back on Friday, George Brockler in the chair tomorrow morning. I'm Randy Corcoran from Saturday Mornings, your pumped-up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism. And on Saturdays, I do Denver's only live local conservative Saturday morning show. We had a good one last week. We spent last Saturday, only 2 days ago. We spent a lot of time with Attorney General Barr's amazing speech regarding the importance of religion to the U.S., to Western civilization, a speech he gave to young aspiring lawyers at the Notre Dame Law School last week as well. And I commend it to you and highly recommend that you follow me on Twitter at Randy Corcoran or go to one of my Facebook pages, Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, or my personal page, which is just my name, where I have posted the links to the speech. It is well worth a listen, well worth your time, and inspiring. Tie that together with the time I spent with Ken Cuccinelli in Washington, D.C. at a White House policy briefing a few weeks ago, and I am very satisfied, very comfortable with the men and women that Donald Trump has surrounding himself inside of that White House. Contrary to everything you see in the newspaper, on the news, on the Sunday morning shows, it's not what's happening. Question is this strategy by the Democrats going to work and diminish Donald Trump's chances for re-election in 2020? So many different ways it looks like what they're doing is going to fail. And when you look at the results, I mean, just think about this. After 8 years of George W. Bush, the average American middle class income, household income, went up by $400. After 8 years of Barack Hussein Obama, it went up by $1,000. After only the first 2 years of Donald Trump, average American middle class household income up by $6,000. So we will dig into all of the latest attacks on the president and whether it's having an effect with my good friend, former Colorado State Senator Ted Harvey, who now runs the Committee to Defend President Trump, a national PAC, and he's just terrific. He'll join us at 7 o'clock. Trevor Loudon later in the 7 o'clock hour, Brigitte Gabrielle in the 8. We've got one line open right now at 303-696-1971. Let's get to Chuck, our Oklahoma caller, talking about the state of education in the USA. This is kind of a pickup on our question this morning: should teachers be allowed to strike? And so, Chuck, thanks for waiting. Welcome to the Peter Boyle Show. How are things going in Tulsa?
Oh, not too bad. Bright and sunny this morning.
Well, send some that way, because it's oh dark 30 still here in Denver, and it's almost 7 o'clock.
Yeah. You know, in the school district where I live, to be a substitute teacher, you only need a high school education. Now, there's a lot of cases where there's a teacher shortage, like in a lot of these districts. And so what happens is they grant a waiver so they don't need the education certification. So a thinking person would be, well, why don't we do an overhaul and just do away with that certification to begin with and concentrate on expertise of the subject, at least an overall qualified person. Now, another way of thinking person would look at it, too, is how many of these new graduates who get into this when they enter first day of class in college, they know very well what job it is they're going to most likely take and how much that pays. So why would you get into something, especially where it's public supported, you know, funds are dependent on tax dollars, and then complain once you're in the job you're not making enough?
It is a bit hypocritical, isn't it? And, you know, one of the texters earlier just had the great point. I never hear any talk about merit. Why don't we base the amount someone's paid by the amount of time they put in, by the results, the number of graduates or kids who advance to the next grade or perform in the top, you know, 5% of the school or something like that, and make it incentive-based? That's how the free market works. When you allow public teachers, public employees of any kind to strike, they just have such a tremendous amount of leverage over the over the typical private sector striking worker, and I think that's entirely unfair. But your ideas are good ones. We've allowed the Democrats to get such entrenched control of the education system, school boards, etc., that it's a long haul. But the fact that people are awake and talking about it now leaves me optimistic that we can still pull ourselves back from the brink, Chuck.
Well, how about that question that Elizabeth Warren had at that one rally or town hall, whatever it was that she had? It was a 9-year-old kid, I guess he was, he or she, I lost track, was transgender. And the question was based on, if he would be protected in school, you know, from being bullied and so forth, instead of question about education, you know, the quality of education or, actually having to do with academics. So I guess that kind of tells you, like, where you are. And as far as being rewarded for merit, I think on the left, mediocrity is more rewarded. I actually think there's a punishment going forward if you have any kind of excellence.
Nothing to add to that, Chuck. Thanks very much for listening from afar. We really do appreciate our out-of-town listeners.
Thanks.
God bless you, sir. Getting up near the break, so we had to take that. I want to squeeze one more call in. And also remind you, it's just a week away now. A week from tomorrow night is the countdown to 2020, the War for American Soul, when Dennis Prager and Michelle Malkin will be in town. You can see them personally and enjoy their wisdom, insight, and motivation at CU South Denver, which is formerly the Wildlife Experience over there in Parker. Great facility. Get tickets, complete details at 710knus.com. And thank you very much to Alpha One Tax and Wealth for helping sponsor this event. You can visit them online at alphaonewealth.com. Let's squeeze in Joan, who's been waiting from Lakewood. Real quick, Joan, welcome to the show.
So, Randy, did you hear about the March for Trump last week on Thursday?
No.
There was about 800 women marching in Washington, D.C., and nobody covered it. And we also lost 20 buses. The bus company that we had 20 buses to bus women from all up and down the East Coast canceled the night before because they found out that we were marching for Trump there on the West Lawn. The media didn't cover it, and nobody cared. And that's how biased the media is. We had a tremendous rally. Nancy Pelosi looked down on us from the Capitol, and I think it's one of the reasons why she decided not to take the vote.
Very, very interesting, Joan. I wish we had more time to discuss this. We're up against the break now.
Go on Facebook, put in March for Trump, and you'll see all about it.
Sounds great. I'll do that, and I'll talk to Ted Harvey from the Committee to Defend the President. And he joins us at the 7 o'clock hour. Thank you very much for waiting and letting us know about that. I do remember now that she mentions it, seeing or hearing, maybe it was on Facebook or Twitter, I don't know, about it, but I never heard anything about it after. And of course, does that come as a surprise? No, it does not. All right, in the 7 o'clock hour, Trevor Loudon, but first we'll spend some time with my good friend Ted Harvey from the Committee to Defend President Trump. And boy, after the last couple of weeks, does he seem to need it, at least if you only get your news from TV, the Denver Post, and all of the usual culprits. So stay with us. We're almost halfway through the Peter Boyle Show. I'm Randy Corcoran. Good to have you here at 710 KNUS.